You've got the camping beds ready to go in the shed because you've run out of beds for when the cousins come. You've been navigating your own Christmas obstacle course. I mean, you've had the work Christmas party, you've had Christmas jumper day, Secret Santa, you've had to write the Christmas card to make sure you get in the right envelope and get the right stamp to the right address. You've had to avoid the lurgy that's been going around, you've had the school nativity, you've made it to the carol service, you've got to remember all the secret places you've hidden the presents, and let's be honest, in a moment of weakness, you also ate the giant cricket bat-sized Toblerone last night in a moment of weakness. Is your Christmas big enough? You're going, oh yes it is! It's plenty big enough. You love Christmas, but let's be honest, it does leave you feeling a bit exhausted. And if you're really honest, at the end of it all, it's not just your bank balance that feels a little bit empty. But so some of you, you hear me asking the question, is your Christmas big enough? And you just think, well, Tom, you're being both irrelevant and insensitive. Irrelevant because we're going simple for Christmas this year, you say. The first Christmas was simple. It's fine for ours to be two. It's just another Wednesday. I mean, we've had 51 other Wednesdays this year. It's just on this Wednesday, the TV's a little bit better. Maybe you think it's insensitive because actually your Christmas has shrunk down, not because you chose it to shrink down, but because of what you've experienced this year. Maybe the loss of a loved one or a family that's broken apart. And it's enough just to get through Christmas and land yourself into January. But it turns out, no matter how big or how small and simple you go for Christmas, the idea of big when it comes to Christmas is not big enough. I'm sorry, Sainsbury's. I'm sorry, BFG. I'm sorry, those of you who go to all that effort to put your Christmas decorations up in November. I know who you are. Your big is not big enough. You see, for Christmas to truly work, you've got to go bigger than big. You need a cosmic-sized Christmas. You need Christmas to be cosmically big, and not just something to enjoy, not just something to escape, not something to leave you exhausted or empty. What we need is the reality at the heart of Christmas, that God came to us as Jesus. In those Bible readings, we got a little glimpse of the cosmically big Christmas. But nobody, I think, captures it better than John in his account of Jesus' life, that last reading that Andy read for us. John starts, doesn't he? He almost says to you, step back, take it all in. Take in all of time, all of history, the entirety of the universe. And he says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God and the Word was God. And he goes on to say, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The child born, who is God himself, come to us. You see, when your Christmas is cosmically big, it doesn't leave you exhausted or empty or just reflecting on your experiences or your expectations. Instead, it speaks into all of those things, and it speaks into every part of your life. Because in John chapter 1, we're shown that the story of Jesus has deep roots in a world where things don't last. We long for a story with deep roots, don't we? Because things in our world don't last. Think of all those things that you've stashed in your fridge for the next few days. They don't last, do they? In recent years, we've known how fragile and uncertain life is. But in Jesus, we have a story that doesn't fail, it doesn't fade, it doesn't run out. Jesus brings a steadiness to life that I think a lot of us are looking for. You see, the story of Jesus is the story of the entirety of history. And every great story, every brilliant film you've ever seen, every brilliant book you've ever read echoes this story. It's not a story that starts once upon a time. It's a story that starts in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Through him, all things were made. You see, you could choose to look at the stars in the sky for guidance. Or you could look at the one who put the stars in the sky. You can build your life on the things that Jesus created for us to enjoy, but find that they crumble. Or you could build your life on the Creator and enjoy him and find a firm foundation. The story of Jesus has deep roots in a world where things don't last. The story of Jesus is light in a world that often feels dark. I mean, it's the time of year, isn't it? It's gloomy. It's gloomy of gloomies. It's why we love Christmas. I love all the Christmas lights. And outside, I love that almost everybody in Thurnby has got Christmas lights. We love Christmas lights. Why? Because it's dark. But the darkness isn't just the weather or the time of year. It's a deeper darkness than that. We think of conflicts and struggles and sufferings and disappointments. We're surrounded by what we see in the news. Even in life's best moments, those things still weigh quite heavily on us. Things in our own lives and the lives of those around us. Those things that go wrong, that break down, that break up. We get ill, we argue, we lash out, we hurt, we grieve. John tells us this: in Jesus was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. The story of Jesus is light in the dark. The story of Jesus is light for the bits of our lives we would rather stayed in the darkness, that were hidden, that very few people, if anyone, knew about. But Jesus came as the light to overcome those. You see, his story goes beyond a wooden manger, and it leads him to a wooden cross where he, on the darkest day, died to overcome our sin and to deal with our separation from God. The story of Jesus has deep roots in a world where things don't last. The story of Jesus is light in the darkness, and the story of Jesus is belonging in a world that longs for community. Did you know that we are in a health crisis? And what's the cause of our health crisis? Loneliness. Loneliness. We are more connected now than we ever have been, and yet for most of us, we have less community than we ever had. John says, Jesus came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Jesus was born to us so that we might be able to be part of God's family. Truly known, completely loved, and belonging, a sense of belonging like you've never experienced before, both now and in eternity. So I wonder, can I ask my question to every single one of you here, those watching online, those sitting behind me, is your Christmas big enough? Is it big enough? Because if it's not cosmically big, you'll be left exhausted and empty and still searching. With Jesus, God come to us. We have a story of deep roots in a world where things don't last. A story of light in the darkness. A story of belonging in a world that longs for community. And there are in this room today many people whose stories have been included in the story of Jesus. People who've made their lives about him. And I can't speak for them tonight. Maybe you can chat to them. Maybe they're the person who's sitting next to you who's brought you along. But I can tell you my experience. Three things. One, to follow Jesus is the very best thing I have ever done in my life. Two, to follow Jesus is the greatest adventure I have ever been on in my life. Third one, Jesus has never let me down. You'll see in front of you this evening in your pews various different things. Some of the things will be a card. It looks a little bit like this. It says, keep in touch on the top of it. And there should be some pens around as well. And I want to say to you, grab that card, fill it in if Jesus might be the story who will turn your story around. And if not, why not try it out? I mean, you've come to St. Luke's tonight. Why not come again? In fact, why don't I set you a challenge? Why don't you come here on a Sunday for 3 months just to see what happens, to hear and experience the story of Jesus? You could call it a scientific experiment. And then, do you know what? I'd love to know what you thought. In fact, I would buy you lunch at Cafe 55 down the road if at the end of those 3 months, you turned around and said, nothing changed. This could be a really expensive evening for me tonight. Come and try us for 3 months and just see if anything changes. If that's you on the cards, you'll see on the back, it's double-sided. You can find out all about different things happening in the church. Just tick the boxes, put your contact details in. There'll be somebody at the door you can hand that to. I want you to fill in the card this evening if the story of Jesus seems to make sense of your story somehow. If it does, you need to ask yourself this question. Does it add up? Is it real? Does it make sense? Does it work? You'll notice on the cards, there's the first tick box on the back. It says about exploring Christianity. I'm sorry, I realize I don't think you guys have got the card, so I'll throw some your way in a little bit. You can tick that, or you can grab hold of one of these little white cards that say Hope Explored. 3 evenings in January at Cafe 55. 7:30, starting on the 8th of January. 3 evenings just to explore what this is all about, whether it's true, whether it adds up, whether it makes sense. Let's put it this way. A couple of hours of your time could lead you to eternity. That, to me, sounds like a wise investment. Maybe you want to fill in a card tonight if Jesus' story is one you want to make your life about right now. And when I mean right now, I mean tonight. It's as simple as saying yes to Jesus. It's as simple as asking him to forgive you. And it's as simple as asking God's Holy Spirit to arrive into your life. And in my book, this is the best decision I have ever made, and I think any other person in this room watching online can ever make. And maybe you want to tick the box on the cards tonight that just says, I want to pray with someone, and we'll be in touch, we'll pray for you. And in a moment, I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And if you want to pray it with me quietly in your hearts, please do. At the end of tonight, we've sung our final carol. We've had mulled wine and mince pies. There'll be a couple of people on the door over there. You can just put the card into their hands, or you can seek me out. I'll happily take your card from you. But don't miss this opportunity for Jesus' story to make a difference to your story this evening. You'll also find it in your pews if you want to just think these things through a little bit more. A little red booklet. It's free to you. Christmas in 3 words. It's not a long read. Take you 10 minutes. Could be an important read for you. Please do take one of those. But I'm going to lead us now in a prayer. So if you want to, close your eyes. If you want to pray this prayer along with me in the quiet of your hearts, please, please do. Father God, we thank you for the story of Jesus. Sorry for when our Christmases haven't been big enough. And sorry for the dark things in my life. Thank you that Jesus came to forgive me and to set me free. Thank you that you now welcome me into your family. I ask that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit, that I might know you, love you, and live for you. Amen.